a sense of peace and a sense that in everything, you are walking with us step by step, gently leading us to the heart of things. Amen. Come away on a journey with me. Let us go to the house of the Lord, 6,127 miles away. This is Iona, Scotland, as viewed from the air. Iona is a small island, only 3.5 by 1.5 miles in size, and is located off the western coast of Scotland. Mary de Jong describes Iona, Scotland as a particular place, both historically and geographically. A small sanctuary-like island seemingly hanging on to the skirt of the known world. Iona, Scotland is a pilgrimage site for thousands of travelers each year. From all over the world, travelers trek to Iona for varied reasons. Many travelers come only for the day to see the iconic abbey. Others may spend at least a few days in a quiet pilgrimage or on a quest of some sort. For me, I treasure the peace, rest, gratitude, and closeness to God, all of which I experience on Iona. My trip a few weeks ago in May was my 6th trek to Iona. It was Lauren's 3rd. It was Joan's 7th, and also in the congregation, Esther Clark and Jane Croyle have been to Iona. Has anybody else been to Iona? Okay, well, you're along for the ride today. Before you cringe and think that this is a travel report with endless pictures, don't worry. It does lead to a scriptural reflection, but there's got to be pictures with this sermon, and I'm taking you to Iona. The trip to Iona is not for the faint of heart. You really gotta wanna get to Iona. While flight patterns vary, our most recent trip included a flight to Reykjavik, Iceland, with a 2-hour layover, which turned into 5 hours, which delayed all the other legs of the trip. And there are a lot of legs of the trip to get to Iona. Once we finally departed Reykjavik, we flew into Glasgow, Scotland. We found a cab to the Queen Street train station, and we took a 3-hour train ride through gorgeous landscape to Oban. This train trek has been featured on a PBS show which highlights amazing train trips, and you may see sights such as beautiful rainbows arcing over villages, or the stone building and quaint settings, or amazing mountains or waterfalls. At the conclusion of the 3-hour train ride, we arrived in Oban, where we fell into our beds after 29 hours after we left Huntingdon. The following morning, rejuvenated from a good night's rest and a fortifying Scottish breakfast, we continued the trek. We boarded a ferry for a 45-minute sail across the Firth of Loran, which is an inlet of the Atlantic Ocean. The beauty of this trip includes this picturesque castle. At the village of Craganure, we climbed aboard a bus for a 75-minute ride across the island of Mull. This bus ride is the most challenging leg of travel for me, as the double-decker bus maneuvers the one-track road and seemingly sways and through these twists and turns. There are multiple layovers along the road, which the drivers kindly follow an unspoken set of manners for a one-track road and who pulls over at what time. The bus amazingly squeezes onto these narrow bridges, and it's unbelievable to feel your bus fit through those stone bridges. manages multiple turns and twists of the country road, and sometimes it has to coax Highland cattle and sheep off the road to vacate so that the bus can continue on its trip. While crossing Mall, we see the village of Bennessen, which is where the tune name later used for Morning Has Broken originated. At Finnefort, finally, Iona is in sight. After two planes, a cab, a train, a ferry, and a bus, we catch the very last leg of the trip, another ferry for a 10-minute ride across Iona, crossing the Sound of Iona. Stepping off the ferry onto this holy island of Iona is a moment that I wish every one of you could experience. Iona is a place of simplicity, even though we recognize that the permanent residents, of which there are 182, have a hard life of hard work and sometimes inconvenience with lack of immediate medical care. A doctor only visits once a week in a morning. And for the need for students in grade 7 and beyond to travel to boarding school weekly. North Iona is a place of great beauty of nature, including the ocean, rocky shores, and the magnificent creation of God. Iona is not only an amazing geographic location known for its wide variety of stones, which vary on each side of the island. Iona is also a community of faithful servants engaged with God, engaged with the church, and engaged with the world. Chris King sums up the values of the Iona community by writing, "Rooted in a concern for healing, building community, and supporting people in the journey of faith, there is a commitment to solidarity with those who are disadvantaged and to sharing in the creation of a just and peaceful world." We landed on Iona for the week, and the pilgrimage to this holy island was quite the trek. Our scripture text for the day describes a pilgrimage to the city of Jerusalem, which our biblical ancestors undertook to celebrate a major festival. They trekked to Jerusalem 3 times a year for major festivals such as Passover, Pentecost, or the Feast of Tabernacles. The pilgrims had quite the trek to Jerusalem, not with the modern benefits like we have of planes, trains, cars, and ferries. They had their sturdy feet. And they didn't have a playlist of favorite songs that they could play on constant repeat. They had their voices, which they joined together in community. I like to think that the rhythm and cadence of their joined voices strengthened them as they walked the journey to the house of the Lord. These folks were not vacationers or sightseers. It was decreed that they made these pilgrimages. And maybe they didn't start out on the journey filled with joy or feeling so glad. We don't know. Perhaps the songs encouraged them on their journey. The travelers sang with gratitude as they crossed in and arrived at the city gates. Imagine reaching those gates with tired, dusty, weary, arthritic, and calloused feet, and yet still lifting voices joined together in gratitude. Our psalm continues with intercessory prayer. There is prayer for all who live within Jerusalem. And that peace may extend to family and friends of the worshipers. There is prayer that the worshipers will work for peace, health, and safety. The beneficiaries of these prayers are families, friends, and the house of the Lord. The psalmist conveyed the need, the commitment to work for peace, not just the absence of conflict, but completeness, health, justice, and protection. The world does not provide this peace. Real peace comes from our faith in God as we go to the house of the Lord, whatever that means for us, as we worship, as we reach out a hand to help others. One commentary said that this pilgrimage is more than a long and dangerous walk. It is about the soul in community with others and with God. On the island of Iona, the ancient abbey is the centerpiece, the house of the Lord, and a destination for those on a pilgrimage, for the soul and community with others and with God. Here's a snapshot of Iona's history. Iona is perhaps most famous for the 563 AD arrival of the Irish monk Columba and his companions, for whom the island served as a home base for spreading their mission, for their mission of spreading Christianity. Columba's great monastic center of learning created wandering saints, Celtic monks who traveled from Iona in the early Middle Ages to preach and teach, and they got as far as Kiev. But over the centuries, Iona fell into ruin. Vikings came ashore and plundered the abbey, stealing anything of value and slaughtering the monks. There were still farmers, crofters, on the island, barely making a sustainable living throughout the centuries, but the holy island did not have its centerpiece of the abbey. Iona was still a place of pilgrimage through these many centuries, even though the abbey remained in ruin. The island's history and the intriguing geological landscape brought tourists throughout the centuries. The Iona Abbey was rebuilt in the 1920s and 30s. George MacLeod, a Scot who was a Presbyterian minister, was a captain in the British military during World War I. His experience of trench warfare led to deep theological reflection. And on a train with wounded soldiers returning home, he had a profound experience of Christ's presence in each of those shattered and shaken bodies. His experience led him from being a military officer to a commitment of pacifism. He was known for saying, "Are you making peace today?" Through his conversion, MacLeod received the vision to rebuild the Iona Abbey. In the depth of the Depression, MacLeod found unemployed craftsmen and trainee ministers and soldiers and created a common life rebuilding the abbey and thereby rebuilding the self-esteem of soldiers and other persons who had lost their trades in the Depression. Using some stones from the original abbey, centuries earlier, the abbey was restored as a beautiful house of the Lord. Travelers to Iona, especially those of us who are fortunate to live on the island for several days, can worship at the abbey, this house of the Lord, at 9 in the morning and 9 at night. The abbey is not heated. In many of my worship experiences over the years at the abbey, I have heard the wind whistle around the stone walls, and I have seen my own breath. Even in the summer, a jacket, a hat, and maybe even a scarf feel good. Iona is a pilgrimage site for students in ministry training. The week prior to our visit, Don O'Tony Wilhelm, former pastor here at Stone Church and currently a seminary professor, was visiting Iona with a group of her Church of the Brethren students, including Rachel Wachowski, daughter of Dave and Kim. As Lauren and I were at worship one of the evenings, I sat down beside a young man who said his name was Gabe. I shared my name and asked where he was from, and he said Maryland, to which I replied I was Pennsylvania, and then Gabe said, "Are you Church of the Brethren?" Small world that it is. Gabe is a pastor at Beaver Creek Church of the Brethren in Maryland. He had done some required coursework through my organization and was on Iona as part of the coursework for his doctorate in ministry at Fuller Seminary. He did have a heads up from the previous seminary group that some Church of the Brethren folks would be on the island the same time as he was, so he was on the watch the entire week. And I guess we fit the look, I guess. This restored House of the Lord on Iona welcomes thousands of visitors every year. Worship in the abbey is awe-inspiring. The Lord's Prayer spoken by the worshipers in their native tongue, music echoing off the stone walls, the opportunities to reflect on God's call in our lives in silent time of reflections, fill the worshipers with a deep sense of God's presence. The Iona community is now spread wide. Some members remain at the Abbey while others are spread worldwide, but they all value diversity within the community. An open and inclusive community, many persons find their home within the Iona community as they know they are a child of God, loved, welcomed, and embraced. As we spend time on Iona, the entire island feels like it is the house of the Lord, not just the Abbey. The treks on this island mean different things for each person who travels. For me, Iona is a place where I remind myself to breathe deeply, to center myself in God, who is my rock and my refuge, and to set aside the heavy concerns that I carry. I remind myself to breathe deeply and soak in the peace. I search for a meaningful stone to carry as a reminder when the days get tough and God is my rock and fills me with what I need for each day. Although I should add that we came home with more than one stone, and Joan and I think we may need to go to Stones Anonymous. That wasn't written in, Joan, but I just had to confess it. I rest in the moments of worship within the walls of the Abbey and outside the walls as we enjoy the amazing creation of God. As we hike or as we pause to catch our breath, from ancient hills and rocks to the currents and tides of the oceans, to the winds, to the rains and rainbows which appear, all of these calm the spirit and stir within us a sense of worship that God is the master creator calling us to be stewards of creation. The ocean tides remind us of the rhythm and movement, rhythms of rest and work, of stillness and activity, of quiet and sound, and these are crucial in our lives of well-being. Many Celtic prayers remind us of the rhythms and seasons of life. They recall for us the intricate and marvelous patterns in nature and in seasons. As much as I love Iona and hope to return there again, we can worship much closer to home. And our beloved stone church building and nature locations closer to your home, in a special spot in your house, anywhere, at any point, you can take a deep breath and commune with God. George MacLeod, the founder of the Iona community, said, "God is thus to be discovered, encountered, and experienced in the midst of life, in the hurly-burly and daily routine of lives, in and through our relationships, not just in the tranquil moments and remote, beautiful places like Iona." The pilgrims in Psalm 122 formed a community as they sang together and prayed in peace. The pilgrims on the island of Iona form community as we worship together and value the beauty of creation. And this diverse community, our Stone Church community, whether gathered in person or on Zoom, with Juniata alums visiting for the weekend and other guests, whether this is your first time at Stone Church or your 1,000th plus, you are a part of this community, this amazing and wide-reaching community of Stone Church. Together, we journey, praying for one another and ourselves, seeking ways to live out our lives to which God calls us. We are each unique creations, and we are equally loved and treasured by God. And we are always, always invited to the house of the Lord, wherever that may be for you. As Lauren plays a few moments of reflective music, I invite you to draw attention to the half sheet within your bulletin. The picture is from one of our hikes to the ocean's edge, and I simply encourage you to reflect.
Thank you. please join in this responsive reading? Look at your hands. See the touch and the tenderness. God's own for the world. Look at your feet. See the path and the direction. God's own for the world. Look at your heart. See the fire and the love. God's own for the world. This is God's world, and we will serve God in it. May God bless us. May God keep us ever with great care and lead our lives with love. May Christ's warm welcome shine in our lives, and peace in heart and home prevail through every day.
Of Celtic Christianity is blessing as a way of life. What is it to walk in blessing? The Celtic pilgrims show us that when we walk in blessing, we are living in a growing awareness of God's presence and mercy extended to us with wisdom and grace because of who God is. We bless God by becoming aware of God's mercies and goodness to us, receiving that mercy and goodness, and allowing our lives to be transformed into active blessing of others. We become more generous and more compassionate as people and as communities. As we journey both as individuals and communities, may our journey ahead be blessed with God's laughter, silences, risks, challenges, healings, questions, promises, answers, tears, solidarity, peace and compassion-filled surprises, and perhaps all of these in one day. So go into your week with the commitment to make peace each day.